So, we're back to Proverbs. He who walks with the wise. We are in Proverbs 13. Now, we went through this, and I've handed out a sheet again this week. I filled in the parts that we had already talked about last week. So I'm just going to quickly review. Talk about the stark choice of influencers. We were quoting Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise man will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So the key words in this verse are walks, which implies discipleship, and then companion. There's no purposefulness about this companionship. It's somebody, as I said, who hangs out at the corner store. Just anybody you meet. That's the idea. The companion of fools. The guy that hangs out. Alright, so then we gave these various verses that talked about the negative context of companions. And, all those verses were negative. So let's see. Let's move on. Then we started talking about the influence of evil men. And this is the section we're in right now. So what do these key verses mean? So we went to chapter 1. We read through verses 8 to 19. Well, actually all the way to 33. So the voice of the father and mother are important. The voice of sinners are important in the decision making. Which one are you going to listen to? The admonished direction in verse 15. The folly of one's own way. Verse 31 to 32. And then where is wisdom? Verse 20 to 23. In the streets. Characteristics of her speech in this passage. Reproof and rebuke. And this is in chapter 1 of Proverbs. And then, again on the influence. So then entanglements. The consequences of bad associations. So we talked about the first two. Suretyship. And then the strange woman, entangled by her deceit. And we had closed with that one, and we were talking about the many applications. The strange woman, obviously, immorality is a very foolish way to live. You give yourself to that, you are walking as a fool. You're going to get yourself in trouble. There are consequences for your life going forward. Of course, the Lord can redeem you from that. But that's not the only application. There are things that people lust after, not just a strange woman or a strange man, but there you could lust after power, wealth, fame. There's all kinds of things that people will pursue who become the strange woman, in a sense, that leads you down and away from God. All right, so those are many applications. All right, so now Proverbs 24 verses 21 to 22 is the next one that we're going to look at. So if you have your Bibles open, if not, or I'll turn there. I'm not putting these verses on the screen. We're just working our way through and talking about them. So Proverbs 24, verse 21 and 22. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will arise suddenly. And who knows the ruin that comes from both of them? So what is the entanglement, what is the characteristic of the person that you're warned against in those verses?
They're always changing their direction, mind, whatever.
Okay, they're always changing their direction, changing their mind. So, changeable. Entangled by risky irresolution is what I put in my notes. So if you want to fill in the blanks, according to Don, that's how the blanks are filled. You can fill them in according to yourself if you wish. Okay, but Proverbs 24, 21 to 22. So what is the danger? What is the lack of wisdom in following somebody or getting too close to somebody who is irresolute, who is changeable? Okay, I'll read the passage again and then I saw Lee's hand. Let me read it again and then Lee can talk first. My son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes from both of them. All right, go ahead.
Well, there's a lack of loyalty there, so what means they're going to be loyal to you as well? Again?
Okay, so the lack of loyalty, perhaps. And if you get too close to somebody who's quickly changeable, they may turn on you. That's true. I've had friends like that. When we were going, this is more when you're younger. Maybe they've grown these days and are stronger people, but there would be times when we would be friends with the neighbor kids. There would be times we would be enemies with the neighbor kids. So very changeable. Wasn't a very reliable friendship. All right. Gordon.
They're susceptible to every wind of doctrine. Right? They hear this and they're on that boat, and then they hear somebody else preach and they're on that boat.
Right. So susceptible to every wind of doctrine. So very changeable. They're unstable. All right. Somebody who's unstable brings chaos into their lives. Like there's always something happening. And we've dealt with many people over the years. We try to help them. And some people are just, they cannot stay fixed on the Lord. You know, they give them the gospel and they all, yeah, I'll believe that. Yeah, I'll follow that. But then, you know, pretty soon they're off doing something else. You go back and try to talk to them. Oh, well, yeah, but they have all kinds of excuses. And there's all kinds of things happening in their home. All kinds of chaos, all kinds of instability. Kids are in uproar. Marriage is a mess. It's a very, very difficult situation if you're connected to an unstable person. Rob?
Maybe you can expand on this a bit. It also includes not just fear of the Lord, but fear of the king.
Yes.
And it's saying, so basically, I read it as you're getting in strife if you're opposing everyone all the time.
Okay, all right, so you're getting in strife if you're opposing everyone all the time, especially the authorities, right? And as a changeable person like this could often be getting themselves into an illegal situation. They're not very stable that way. All right, Marilyn.
It could make you prone to doubting your own convictions.
Okay, prone to doubting your own convictions. That's right. Cornelius.
Well, it was a great political phrase, hope and change.
Hope and change, yes. Right. Now, we like some stability, really, yes.
Change brought lack of hope.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I hear you. Okay, Debbie.
Well, verse 22, God, through his word, assures us that those kind of people are headed for calamity.
So,
if you're interested in pursuing that kind of end, I would say don't hang with people that are going to end up there.
Okay, so the word says that these people are headed for calamity and ruin. So she's warning, don't go in that direction. And the thing... I had a thought there and it just escaped. I have an unstable mind. No, I'm just okay. All right, but okay. We want stability, and it's so the opposite of that. If we are wanting to be wise, we should look for stable people. Like maybe we're immature. We all are immature. We should look to people who are more mature, more spiritual than us, and get help from them and guidance, because they'll help us stay steady. Okay, Rob.
Sorry, two things. One's just sort of a joking prelude about it all comes back to hanging out with those kids at the corner store.
That's right.
It sort of expands on that, but what Maureen doesn't mind me saying, her dad, once said to her, drag them to school, a bunch of kids hanging out on the corner, smoking, and ruffians, I never want to see you standing on that corner with those kids.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, and it is, so I don't know if you all heard that, but the story was that my dad was driving Maureen to school one day and saw all these toughs hanging around on the corner, smoking and just doing nothing. And the line was, I never want to see you hanging around with those kids. So, and those kids didn't want her hanging around with them either, I'm sure. All right. Okay, Cornelius.
Piggybacking on to what being wise, looking for stable people, it's very interesting how damaged people always turn the damaged people into the
yes.
relationships.
That's right. This is a thing. He's saying that damaged people often turn to other damaged people for advice. And we see that happening very frequently. Now, if you want to get off the treadmill, you need to become discipled by somebody who has a stable spiritual relationship with God. Okay? It's just vital. It doesn't mean that they're perfect Christians, they have all the answers. But you want to get yourself on one path, you want to become give yourself to God and not be just jumping all over the place. All right, Debbie.
Yes, I was thinking of that where we compared the opposite. A really always changing person.
Yeah.
We want to be never changing.
Right.
Meaning like the Lord, the same yesterday, today, forever. You always right. know what that person, you're going to get from that
right.
person.
Right. So,
just that way.
Okay, so we want to be consistent, never changing, focused on the Lord, and that means discipleship ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't grow and don't learn new things, but we are walking on a very steady, straight path. Let's go on to the next one, which is Proverbs 28, verse 7. 28, verse 7. All right. He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. All right. So, what is this verse warning us about? Ah, riotous men. Okay, so that's a good term as well. New American says gluttons, but same, that's the same term they're talking about. Riotous men or gluttons. Okay, so what is the warning? What is the thing that could come upon you if you are in company with these people?
Breaking the law.
Pardon me?
Breaking the law.
Well, breaking the law, but there's something else. There's a very... A big concern in Proverbs is the father is concerned for his son. So what is he saying is a consequence?
Well, he brings shame to the family.
Brings shame to the family, all right. Lee, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, like it's sort of said the first one, like if he doesn't keep the law, that's his outcome. Is it like if he keeps the law, he wouldn't shame his father?
That's right. That's right. He who keeps the law is a discerning son. He who is a companion of gluttons or riotous men humiliates his father. Okay, so disgrace, entangling your family with your associations is what I put. Okay, so now there's a lot, there is a notion out there, well, what I do only hurts me. You know, people say that. You try to challenge them about their lifestyle, things they're doing. It only hurts me. No, it does not. Okay, there's... One of the entanglements of bad associations is disgrace on your whole family. And it can be more than just public shame. It's one thing to be an embarrassment and to be somebody and everybody says, oh, there's that guy's dad. Okay, or whatever. But it could cost your family in some ways. And you'll see court cases where children have done a terrible thing and then the parents have to pay the consequences. It's a disgrace. Okay. All right, Lee.
Sin always has like, there's a blast radius associated yeah. with it.
Yeah, there's a blast radius, yes. Yeah. Yeah, okay. There's a blast radius with sin. So when something explodes, the shock wave goes out. And, when I was working for the security of the military on their computer, they had some videos of explosions. Of things they blew up. And so I was watching those. You know, there's amazing power in explosive devices. And that shock goes way beyond the point of destruction. Well, the person who walks in a foolish way, is a companion of fools, their behavior has a wider shock wave than just their own lives. Yes, Debbie.
Yeah, I would say even like the little sins or like are like a pebble in the pond. There's always ripples, and yep. I always think of Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Seemed like a small
That's
thing.
That's right. And it seemed like a small thing to them, but in fact it was a big thing. She's talking about the pebble in the pond and even the sin of Adam and Eve. You read about it and say, well, just eating an apple. Well, we don't know it was an apple. Just eating a fruit. Okay, just that. Like see, there's a consequence. You're saying, I can override what God says. No, you cannot. The words of the prophets, I'm right in the middle of Ezekiel now. And so all this week at camp, I'm going to be reading Ezekiel. And I'll tell you, Ezekiel is not easy to read. You know, you read all this judgment. He says, God says, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. There's a little bit of hope. There's a remnant. I read this morning about the remnant, but boy, oh boy. So this is the thing that God is, there are consequences to evil, the influence of evil men. All right. So any other comments on this one? Okay. So let's move on to the next, which is Okay, so I called this, so entanglements is the consequence of bad associations. Degradation is the personal fruit of bad associations. So we have two proverbs to look at here. And I think we'll expand on what do I mean. Entanglements, those are effects that go, you know, we get involved in all kinds of bad things. But degradation is something that happens to you with bad associations. So verse 24 to 25 of chapter 22. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will please their case. Is this the right one? Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Okay, so what is this verse saying? What is the problem of being associated with an angry man? You'll learn his ways. Okay? You will learn the ways of an angry man. Let's just quickly do the second one, which is just a page over, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, and then we can talk about both of them. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. Okay? So, what will happen if you are connected with evil men? What will you learn? Okay, Debbie says, think and talk. So I put in here in the blank, the words. You'll learn the words of evil men. Okay, so degradation. There are entanglements. There's the trouble that can come to you that's outside of you. But there is also degradation. So your spirit is going to develop some way or other. So you are, if you follow and are a companion and of a disciple maker, your spirit is going to be formed a certain way. But if you let foolish people, wicked people become your guide, you will personally be affected spiritually, and your spirit will grow in the wrong direction, and you'll become like them. All right, Lee.
So you could argue that, I mean, if you're wise, a righteous person will guide you, but the wicked will lead you astray.
Right. Yeah. A wise person will guide you, a wicked person will lead you astray. That's right. Yeah. Any other comments on this? Yes, Cornelius. That's right, and that's in, where is that, Galatians, is it? Bad company corrupts good morals? Is that Galatians? I don't know. I know it sounds like a... It's in there somewhere. Evil communications corrupts good morals. Yeah. That's right.
Well, if then somebody with a bad temper, I mean, you might end up in a fight with somebody you don't want to fight with.
That's right. Somebody with a bad temper, you might end up in a fight with somebody you don't want to have a fight with. That's right. And in my youth, I collected a lot of Louis L'Amour cowboy novels. And I recently read a couple of them because I thought, I need to have some escape literature here. Now, every one of these guys, he's a big strapping guy, and he's always in a fight. What is it?
First Corinthians.
First Corinthians is where that comes from. Okay, he's always in a fight, either with his fist or with a gun. Okay, not sure what influence that is having on my life. I'm just confessions here. Okay, but there is, but okay, there, the people you walk with.
Confession, can I get rid of your Louis
L'Amour? No, you cannot get rid of them. Those are precious. Alright, okay. Okay, so we have entanglements and degradation, are consequences here. Alright, so now we want to talk about the influence of good men. And we're almost out of time, so I'm just gonna, No, it's the proverb seems to emphasize your bad associations more than the good ones, at least the ones I have in my notes here. Okay, so chapter 2 and verse 1. Want to go there? Okay, and he starts off, "My son, if you will receive my words." Okay, so the first wise association of your life is a wise father. Now, of course, not everybody has a wise father. Okay. But you can find a disciple maker who you can follow. Okay, so the first consequence then, if you look down to verse 10 and 11, it says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you." So the first consequence, develop your own wisdom. Right, Maureen?
You could also say the best father is the Lord.
Well, the best father is the Lord, of course, yes. Yeah, so, you know, if you have a Bible, study your Bible and try to put it in practice in your life. You know, you may not get it all right. You may not understand everything that it says. I don't understand everything it says. And even as I'm standing up here trying to preach it to you, I'm trying to deal with things that I don't completely understand myself. But you keep going. You keep walking with God. So develop your own wisdom. Yes, Debbie.
I think Maureen's point is very important because many people did not have a wise father, and no way you can change that. So
right.
Getting to know your heavenly father through the word.
That's
everybody
right.
Everybody can have a wise father.
That's right. Through the Lord, you can have a wise father. Now, Maureen and I were very fortunate. We had a wise father. Wasn't perfect, but a wise father. And Debbie, on the other hand, did not have a wise father. Okay? We loved him,
but he was not wise.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, rather than putting wise father, is it not because the women feel left out? Aren't the wise parents?
Oh, well, in the Proverbs. Okay, so it is the son writing, a father writing to the son. Now, there are portions where he'll tell him, listen to your mother as well. And actually, I have a lecture on this about my son. So we'll talk about that coming up. So the mother is involved. She doesn't get left out. But that's true. Okay? A wise mother, Debbie did have a wise mother. And so that can compensate it for a great deal. Okay? Okay. Let's see. And then verses 20 to 21 here. "So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it." So chapter 2 is the appeal of the father. This is where it really starts. In the first chapter, it's all negative about don't go down with these bad companions. Chapter 2, "My son, receive my words." And so you'll develop your own wisdom. You will walk with good men. Okay, so you will become discipled, and you will become ultimately a disciple maker if you walk with good men. Okay, or if you accept the words of the wise father. Okay, and then the verse that we started with in this study, Proverbs 13:20. I didn't again put it on the screen, but I have it here. I'll look it up. 13:20. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." So that's the next one. He who walks with wise men will be wise. And then characteristics of a good friend. Okay, so let's see. I'm watching the clock. That's why I'm sort of rushing a little bit. But let's start. Why don't I get a few people to read these for us? So Proverbs 17:17. Who will read that one for me? Debbie will. Proverbs 18:24. Who will read that one? Anybody going to look that up? Wolf will. All right. Proverbs 27:6. All right, I saw Marlena first. Okay, Lola, how about Proverbs 27, verse 9, same chapter. And then 27:17, I saw some other. Okay, Rob, okay, the rest of you, that gets us through all the verses. So let's go ahead, 17:17, Debbie.
"A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity."
A brother is born for adversity, so... That is what the good friend provides for you. He's born for adversity. He's there with you. All right.
You gotta explain what that means. It sounds.
Okay.
Father, he's born to fight with you.
No, no, he's not born to fight you. He is born to stand with you.
Right.
Okay, because of his friendship. Okay, he'll stand. He's an ally. All right. 18:24. Wolf.
"A man with many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer."
Okay, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So that's what a good friend does, closer than a brother. All right, so then 27:6.
"Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy."
Okay, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, right? Okay, then also 27:9.
"A friend man's friend gives the light by hurting counsel.
Okay, so I'm going to have to, the fan is competing with your voice, so maybe read it again, just a little louder, so for everybody to hear. Verse 9, yeah, go ahead.
Ointment and perfume delights the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel.
Okay, so the counsel of the friend is sweet, is the gist of it. So here's the truth. The friend speaks truth to me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, he says. And then it makes the heart glad. Okay, the sweet counsel makes the heart glad. Okay? All right, and then verse 27:17. I forget. Rob, did you have that?
Yeah. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
All right, so the friend sharpens my character. Friend sharpens my character. Okay, so we're almost to the end. The rest of this is basically, I call it the application of wisdom to influences in your life. I give you 4 points here. I'm just going to give you the blanks. I'm mostly just going to be talking. Based on what we've talked about, the associations and friendships, there are friendships that you can have that are going to be negative and going to hurt you. There are also friendships you can have that will help you to grow. So, of course, Proverbs is encouraging those kinds of friendships. Okay, so first of all, correct your relationships with bad influences. Now, we're talking about voluntary associations here. These are people you aren't required to have a relationship with. So they're just friends, somebody you know. Now, I have a lot of friends throughout my life, kids I was in high school with. Some of them I've connected with on Facebook. Now, it's fine to maintain a kind of friendly relationship with them. But the fact is, I am never going to be close to those friends. Because they aren't good influences. They would lead me astray. When I was in high school, if I had walked too close to them, they would lead me astray. Okay? So I don't have to maintain a close relationship with those people. So when those relationships are a problem, you become entangled in their chaos, you are adopting their thinking and errors and judgments, it's a corrupting influence, and you're drawn away from spiritual activities. So if your friends are negative friends, they are a drag on you spiritually. So correct your relationship with bad influences. Maureen?
Well, I guess when you're saying that, it strikes me that some people might not look bad, because they might be nice people, but they might still be drawing you away from the Lord.
Okay, so Maureen observes that some people may not look bad. They may seem like nice people, but they are actually drawing you away from the Lord. So you need to think about how close you want to be with people who are bad influences. It's one thing if you're trying to help them to grow and you have a ministry to them, but you define the parameters of that ministry and don't let them lead you. All right.
Well, what Maureen said, I mean, it really leads to how deep are your friendships with so-called secular friends.
Right.
So you can be in the world and have a loose connection with them,
right.
But you don't really develop, a deep
right.
relationship.
That's exactly right. So you can be in the world, but you have a loose relationship with them. You know, it's not that you're ugly. It's, here comes that person. I don't want to see them. I got to go on the other side of the street. That's not the idea. It's that I'm not going to share deep secrets with this person. I'm not going to get involved in their deep thinking. I'm going to try to witness to them and be friendly to them, but I'm not going to be close to them. Yes?
And I'm just thinking even of something more subtle than looking. Like when I was first here and, and very few people in your church, like if their socialization is on weekends away from church, for example, it might be a legitimate activity that would be fine. But if it's taking me away from church, then I have to make a decision.
Right,
right. Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Right. It can be subtle. It doesn't have to be overtly wicked.
They might not be going to the bar.
Yeah, maybe they're not going to the bar, but at least they're taking you away from something that you should be doing spiritually. All right, Daryl's next, and then.
Friends are people you can be comfortable with.
Yes.
Right? So you got to, like, shoot, there's Like, I might be comfortable with him, but I shouldn't be comfortable with him.
Right.
Right. So I got to go back to...
Yeah. To this wisdom. Yeah. Who are, figure them out. Where are they at? All right. So I'm not sure who was first, Christy or Lee. So. Okay. Daryl's saying that there's, you can, friends are people you're comfortable with, but some people you have to evaluate. Maybe you shouldn't be comfortable with them. And you need to evaluate according to what we've been talking about in Proverbs. All right. Lee or Christy?
Well, what Maureen was just saying, we have certain family members that want to socialize on Sundays.
Right.
This time.
Yes.
So we have to like draw that line and be like, sorry, we're,
yeah.
We don't do Sunday.
Yes. Now, like, okay, so family members may want to socialize on a Sunday, take you away from the Word of God. Okay, now, let's put it this way. I'm not going to be the pastor that says, you know, doesn't, no matter what, you can never do anything with your family. Suppose there's some family member that lives far, far away, and they're only here for a short period of time, and a special activity is planned somewhere that is going to take you away one time away from church. I'm not going to get after you about that, because you have a ministry to your family as well. But there are friends who are always doing something on Sunday. This is their day to have, to relax, and they'll call you. Let's go to the beach. Let's go to this. Let's go, you know, like, no, that's, you know, this is reserved. All right. Now, I do want to move on. I think there were a couple, oh, we're almost out of time. How's my watch? The clock and my watch, oh boy, my watch is ahead of the clock. Okay, so let me give you the rest of these blanks. I don't want to come back to this. Okay, so counteract unavoidable contact with bad influences. So this is where you're in an involuntary association. If you're at work, you work with people, you see them every day, they're not necessarily believers. So you want to counteract the influences, okay, that they have. So I'm going to, so you limit the companionship and you lead the evangelistic side of this relationship. Okay, I'm just going to rush, Lee, I can't take any more time. Okay, so cultivate the best relationships with good influences. So that means being involved in, with Christians in a Christian place and so forth. And then consider the need for discernment between good and weak influences. So remember the teachings of Proverbs, and remember the influences you have. Maybe I should just read what I have. Remember the influence your influences have on the ones you influence. Man, that, how could I even write such a thing? In other words, your children are influenced by you. So remember, you need to be influenced by people who are going to point you towards God. Okay? Doesn't mean that those other people are perfect. We're not saying that. We're not holding up anybody else as a, you know, we're not the Apostle Paul and we're not Christ. So, but we're trying to follow God. So you need to be influenced by people who are trying to follow God. All right. Okay, so I really don't have time. We can talk more about this, and we will catch up with wisdom. Next Sunday will be, I'm not sure if it's the My Son one or if there's another one, but we're going to be continuing on with this topic. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today. We pray for your blessing on our church. Help us as believers to be committed to growing and to walking with you. Help us to truly develop in our own spiritual life so that we can become stronger Christians each day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.